It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 535. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. We have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource for everything Mike Tech Show. Tonight's agenda, I have some client stories from the trenches. I have 10 tips on speeding up your computer from maximum PC. The article in this current issue is 52 tips, but I'm just going to cover the first 10, which I think are very relevant, that at a minimum, everybody should be doing on every system that you come in contact with. Then I have two emails, and I have some music at the end of the show. Let's start right away with something I'm seeing in this area, and at first, it's a couple law firms that deal with the municipal sites from the different townships for different cases where they're uploading and downloading information and they have a secure login. So we're looking at the court system of Philadelphia, Bucks County. They're making changes on the website. At the same time, you got browsers being updated and Java and Flash being updated, in particular Java. I'm getting calls this week from all my attorney clients having trouble getting access to the websites. Now, it's not a coincidence that all these attorneys now are having trouble because there's got to be something going on at the website. They call and they're clueless. They can't help my clients. And we're finding right now that if you can't use Internet Explorer, Chrome works. If Chrome doesn't work, maybe Firefox works. And it depends on the changes that they're making. As complicated as this gets, my only solution right now, other than making sure all the settings that we need are set right, the Java security level set properly, they can accept cookies, I have all of the customizations that these municipal services are recommending. I'm making sure we're following on all of the browser settings. It's not enough. So in the end, I have all my clients really having Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Chrome all installed. So this way, if one site doesn't work, if one browser doesn't work, then they use the other. It's just been painful this week as I've been bombarded with this. So that's something I'm battling. And I blame the municipal services for making too many changes, not making the right changes, not doing the appropriate testing. And they probably don't have the IT support and the testing that they should have before they make changes to a production website. Whenever you're in a development environment and you have any kind of coding going on or you're making changes, you need three environments. And this is what I've seen throughout my corporate career where the proper way is to have a development area for the software or whatever you're doing. Maybe it's a website or something. Then you have what they call acceptance and testing environment. And then you have the production environment. So all development should happen in development. Then you move to acceptance testing and your users are testing. Then and only with appropriate testing do you dare promote to production. And a lot of this basic, simple, it sounds simple, doesn't it? To have those three environments. Look at all of the major companies that don't have that. Even Google, they have problems. And Facebook, look at the outage that Facebook had that one night a couple weeks ago. And it was due to moving code into production without appropriate testing. And that's something that I've talked long and hard about years ago, which is having a proper change control environment. And that's necessary in any kind of environment where there's going to be changes. You've got to have change control and you got to have this acceptance testing environment before you go to production. And it's that lack of basic IT understanding of that process that gets companies very, very large in trouble because they're ignoring the basics. They're not following the fundamentals that is required in proper testing before you promote to production. And I'm seeing this now, at least in the local municipal services here for websites. Next, had a great meeting with a new client today that is purchasing my services for a network and desktop assessment. And this is the right way to do this. They've had different IT helps, and I think one guy passed away, and then now another guy from a sister company that was helping them was laid off or let go. So this manufacturer is now left in a lurch with no IT support, and a friend of mine happened to be another vendor who does the graphic designs, passed me that referral. I've met with the company today, had a great meeting, and I just wanted to say what I'm going to be doing in a couple weeks. My oldest son and I, we're going to pick a Friday or Saturday, and I'm working this out with the company, and we're going to go in, and I'm going to bring my network testing tools, and one of the first things I'm going to do is wring out the 10 or 15 network cables, making sure there's no issues, because from my interview today, talking with everybody, that as I am kind of keeping my ears and eyes opening and listening to all of their pain points and problems, a lot of it's due to old hardware, bad cabling, multiple layers of hubs and switches throughout the plant. We're going to need some new cabling. I know that. So I'm going to do an assessment of the network infrastructure. The first thing I went back, the core switch is only 10-100. So we're going to gain a lot just by putting a gig switch in. Then with the cabling, I'm now going to visit every single system. There's 10 computers and there's a server. And I'm going to run SIW tool. I have the technician's license. You hear me talk about that all the time. And I'll put the link again in the show notes. It's a great tech tool where I can get an HTML report on everything I want on that computer. It just takes a couple minutes. So my son and I can divide and conquer, hit every one of the desktops. I'm going to get that assessment. Then with all my notes and all of the information that I'm going to do on doing my network analysis, I'm going to put that all together when I get home, put together a comprehensive report, and then present my recommendations: hardware upgrades, software upgrades, network infrastructure upgrades, where cabling needs to be done. I've already observed a few things that right off the bat have to be done. I'm going to list it all out and then have the owner prioritize from a budgeting standpoint. We're not going to be able to do everything all at once, but we're going to prioritize the most important things where we're going to get the best bang for the buck. I know they got 7 XP systems out of the 10. Now, we're not going to be able to replace all the hardware, but where does it make sense to attack first? And who's needs the faster system and start rolling in some new computers? There's some, the software will only work in XP, at least so they tell me. Have they even tried to run in compatibility mode under Windows 7 or Windows 8? I don't know. So these are things I'm going to attack. And I just wanted to go over what I do when I am working with a brand new client, because I want to take that assessment and my recommendations and then turn that into a retainer contract for going forward for support. I'll put instant house call if they become a retainer contract on every one of their desktops and the server. I will then implement my antivirus approach and my malware approach. Make sure that they get the Windows updates. Make sure quarterly I'm visiting them and tuning the systems. So this way we'll be proactive with problems. They have a ton of printing problems. Just looking at some of the printers, I immediately know what's wrong. They're using an old laptop as a print server that they're connecting printers to. It's very old approach to some of their IT that hasn't been upgraded and improved over the last few years. So it's real easy to go in and be able to make some recommendations. I know they can't do everything at once, and you got to remember that. No company is going to be able to just throw money at everything. I got to help them pick and choose what we're going to do first. And this is the right way to approach a new client. I'm so glad that they're letting me do the proper assessment before we even pin down how many hours of support do they need per month. Wanted to go over that approach with everyone, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'll report back on what I'm doing. I have a meeting on Monday with one of my biggest clients where they're over 5 years old, the Dell Optiplex computers, and the hard drives are failing. And even though a hard drive is inexpensive and it's just a couple hours for me to get everything rebuilt, my client doesn't want to do that. They don't want to throw good money at old. They are of the mindset, and they already budgeted for 2015 new hardware for the entire company. They've shrunk a little bit. When we started, there were like 18 computers. There's now maybe 12 or 14. They have a server that's over 5 years old. They want to replace the server. So we're going to replace the server. We're going to replace all the desktops. I've now been part of two handcrafted custom-built computers for a client that is so happy with the custom build, with the components that I picked, and getting it built. I'm going in with two options: pre-built Dell Optiplexes with SSD drives. All these solutions are only including SSD drives as the main drive. Core i7, nothing less for the processor. Nice NVIDIA dual video card. We don't got to go crazy with the specs, but we want reliable, stable, fast. And I'm going to put a Dell Optiplex solution versus the custom-built solution. And over the weekend, I'm going to put together the pros and cons, and I'm going to review that with my client, and we're going to pick the right one. Now, the server, that's going to be easy. I'm going to go with a Dell server. RAM, I'm putting 8 gig minimum for these, but the custom-built systems that I've done for my one client, I'm putting 16 gig of RAM. And I'm using where there's 4 memory slots to where we're only putting 2 8 gigs in. So if we need to go to 32, that's going to be easy. You know, we could just drop in 2 more 8s. I will not build a computer or recommend anything less than 8 gig. The bare minimum processor I will recommend is a Core i5. And that's only because of budgetary reasons would I allow them to go to a Core i5. I really want 4th generation Core i7. Now, if it's my computer, now my computer that I'm right now, my main Windows system has 32 gigs of RAM. You know it. And even my 27-inch iMac that's right beside of me has 32 gigs of RAM. RAM is inexpensive, and it's RAM and SSD drives are two of the best investments you can ever make for speed for a computer. And right now, any system I see, the first thing I think of is, can we upgrade the RAM? Can I put an SSD in there? And that makes a huge difference for performance. So any system that I am putting, whether it's in the corporate world or anything else, it is always going to be an SSD drive. Great question from the chat. Uncle Al asks, never an AMD CPU, Mike? Well, from a few years ago, as you know, my older system that's behind me that I use for testing and other things, it's AMD. That's because of price. At the time, from a budget standpoint, I couldn't afford any more. And that was a crowdfunded machine from Tech Vets listeners. So I wanted the best bang for the buck, and that happened to be a gateway computer with an AMD processor. I will only put Intel unless the customer demands that we be very, very frugal and we need to save money and we're going to put AMD. I'll tell you where AMD comes up. In low-end laptops, HP low-end Staples Special usually is an AMD processor, and I got no problem with that. But my main recommendation is always going to be, if you have the money, Core i7. If you want to save a little bit, okay, then we'll go Core i5. Nothing less. Nothing less, unless you tell me it's a throwaway system for at home and it's not for business purposes and it's just for maybe surfing the internet and getting email, then I'll allow you to get a lower processor. But that's the only time I will allow that. And that's going to be a very, very budget home system for a client. Okay, I want to review, and I'm pulling out my iPad Air, and I'm going to my Kindle app, and I am going to review from the latest Maximum PC digital issue. I subscribe to two digital formats for magazines monthly, and that's Maximum PC and PC World. I love their tips and tricks, and I always learn something. This month, they have 52, to get more speed for free, 52 time-saving tips and tricks. I'm not going to bore you with the 52, but the first 10, it's like the low-hanging fruit. Very easy, and you should be doing this on every system. So I just wanted to quickly go over that. And if we take a look, the first one, and I do this every time I sit at a client for the first time or it's a new system, go change the power options. Go in to the control panel, power options, and change the settings from balanced to high performance. I then go into the high performance and I even go further and I customize by telling it to never let the hard drive go to sleep. No, won't do. No, turn sleep off. If you're a laptop, when you have the power cord in, never for sleep. Now, for optimizing a battery on a laptop, that's different. I'll allow that, okay, go to sleep in an hour or go to sleep in whatever you would like to conserve power when you're not on battery, or when you're on battery but not on regular outlet and a power cord. Very easy, number one. Two, turn off Arrow, the interface for Windows. That just sucks up performance and CPU, and it makes nice little animations for the Windows. Do you really need them? No. And you can save performance. Turn that off. A lot of people forget you can do this. Manually set the processor priority level. Nothing will bring your computer grinding to a halt faster than a program that's monopolizing your processor. Even if your PC isn't actually locked up, other software you try to use will be miserably laggy. When the resource-hogging program in question is something you actually need to let finish, it can leave you with no good option. You either don't let the program finish, or you give up on doing whatever else until it's done. Windows lets you manually set processor priority level. Just open the task manager, click over to the processor or details tab, then right-click on the offending program and set the priority level to low. That's a really good tip. Then use Resource Monitor to spot the slowpoke programs. That's tip 4. Tip 5, go to msconfig in Windows 7 or Windows XP if you're still using it. Or in Windows 8, it's now in the task manager, and it's real easy to clean up the startup programs. Stop all of those programs that are starting up. They don't need to start up. And anytime I start doing that and I'm unchecking boxes, if a client is over my shoulder, they're always afraid that I'm uninstalling something. And I'm saying, no, I'm not removing that QuickBooks update check or that iTunes helper. I'm not removing it. I'm just stopping it from automatically starting. That's a great place to save on performance and stop everything from starting up. You don't need it. Every program we install wants to take over and start up automatically. No, just stop them from starting. Tip 6, CCleaner. Great utility. That's usually the last utility I run after I've already scanned for malware or have finished a cleanup. I make sure CCleaner is the last thing that I run, and I always do two things. I run the cleaner that cleans up the temp files, but I always uncheck, if I'm on a client's site, I uncheck the cookies and internet history. I don't want them removed because I could be removing passwords that are saved by my client, and I don't want to do that. I always uncheck that for all the browsers, and then I let it clean up. Then I run the registry clean, and I run it until there's no more fixes. Number 7, do a malware scan. That's obvious. You run Malwarebytes, and hopefully you have the premium version, but run that. I like number 8, and I feel vindicated in my opinion on antivirus. This is from Maximum PC. The number 8 tip. Drop the commercial antivirus. These days, commercial antivirus is likely to cause as many problems as it fixes. If you keep Windows current, then the included Windows Defender antivirus will be enough to protect your computer from common attacks. That's all Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 comes with Windows Defender, the antivirus. You do not need a commercial antivirus on top of that. Practice basic web safety, so don't open email attachments from people you don't know, etc., and you'll be safe without any security bloatware. That's Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. If you're running Windows 7, use Microsoft Security Essentials. There you go. You put that with Malwarebytes Premium on top, that's all you need. Add a couple browser add-ins that we like, Web of Trust, and AdBlock Plus. Add that to all your browsers. You now got a very secure system. Number 9, make sure Windows is always up to date. That's an obvious one. And number 10 that we're going to wrap this top 10 list here of fixes, things to speed up your computer, get the latest video driver. I can't tell you how many times in the past I've had different issues where an update of the video driver makes a big difference. I love NVIDIA because the built-in control panel that I always let start will go out and tell me anytime there's a new driver and I automatically apply it. Out of all of the different devices, that's the one that I make sure is constantly updated. So that is our 10 tips and tricks to help speed up your computer. And they're very easy to execute. There's 42 more if you buy the latest issue of Maximum PC. And I highly recommend it because there's some tips there that you're going to learn that are free and they're easy to apply. And sometimes we forget about them. This, and he happens to be in the chat tonight, is from Clark. And let me read this. And this is Clark PC in the chat. Can you recommend a good but inexpensive web camera? We are thinking of teaching a course on using Skype at the Computer Learning Center. And to do so, we need to purchase web cameras. Most likely, I would expect our students to want to purchase similar devices. Since they are older adults, they should be easy to install. A year or so ago, I bought a Microsoft LifeCam Cinema. I have one sitting here and I don't like it. To use to record talks at our club. It is a pain to set up and use, especially with Windows 8.1. I have seen notes that other people are having the same difficulties. Yes, and I'm one of them. You would think that Microsoft would do an excellent job of integrating their hardware with their software. Oh, that's right. This is Microsoft. Slap my head. Back to reality. I did look at Logitech, but there are so many types. We probably do not need a high definition, but if the price difference is not that great, it may be a good direction to go in. Thanks, Clark. Clark, I love Logitech cameras. Right now, I have the Logitech Orbit. Now, that's big, and it's on a stand, and it's nice, but you don't need that. I have a very inexpensive, I think it's like $20, the Logitech camera that I use when I change cameras to zoom in on my mixer. That view is a very inexpensive Logitech camera. I think it's like a 550. Let me take a look here at what it is. It's the Logitech High Def Webcam C510. And I think it's very inexpensive. So take a look at the C510. Any nice low-end Logitech that has a little flip that can just sit on any monitor or it can stand up, look to see if it has the hole to sit on a little tripod. I always like that, but that's not a deal breaker for me, but it's a nice to have. So you could always put a little tripod or even a big tripod if you wanted to do something different with it. Here's what I would do for the Logitech. I would search Amazon, Newegg, and then I would check, since Clark's in the area, I would get the Philadelphia Inquirer and look at Best Buy and Staples, the Sunday ad, get that on Saturday, and then see what they're offering for deals on web cameras. Sometimes you can get a great steal. It's a shame it's not Black Friday. Remember, if you're buying from Amazon, please, please, please use my Amazon link. And that's amazon.micnation.net if you're buying anything from Amazon. And that helps support the show. A small commission comes back. Your price stays the same. The reason, if it was Black Friday, sometimes they were like almost giving away as lost leaders to get you in the door web cameras. But look to see what Best Buy has on sale. Look to see what Staples has. And then I would check Newegg and Amazon. You're going to find good, reliable, inexpensive Logitech web cameras. And something about the Logitech that I love, I can use them on my Mac. The Logitechs just seem to work great plugging them in to my MacBook Pro. And when I was doing a remote show 500 last year, I had a camera that was on a tripod, and it was a Logitech web camera plugged into my MacBook Pro. So Logitech works with Mac, works with Windows, and usually you don't even have to install any drivers. It'll just automatically grab it. So that's my recommendation. Thanks for the email. And we got one more email, and this is a link this is Kevon, and he says, he goes by, oh, Bionic Boy in the chat. He's not in the chat tonight. He got this link yesterday about TrueCrypt. It's an update on all of the new testing for TrueCrypt. I haven't had a chance to go through with it, but I'll make sure it's in the show notes because we're still interested in encryption and what the final verdict's going to be with the testing of the security of TrueCrypt. I still have clients, and I even had a discussion today with a client about TrueCrypt. I still have production machines right now with whole disk encrypted TrueCrypt systems because you still can't crack them. TrueCrypt, maybe the software is not supported, but it's still secure and it works. So until my client has an operating system that supports BitLocker, we're going to still use TrueCrypt. I suspect we'll be using TrueCrypt through 2015. And when Microsoft releases Windows 10, and it's a free upgrade, the pro version hopefully will still include BitLocker and will still work properly. And I will be testing that, of course, when it comes out. But that'll be my recommendation at that time, which will be upgrade the systems to the pro version of Windows 10 or whatever they're going to call it and make sure BitLocker is included and then turn that on. And that's when we'll probably start to phase out the TrueCrypt. Unless something immediate was to happen that there was a security flaw that is so flagrant that makes it unsecure for anybody that has whole disk encryption with TrueCrypt, then we would have to look into the Sophos encryption, VeraCrypt. There's other options, or we would just have to do an upgrade immediately from Windows 7 Pro to Windows 7 Ultimate. That probably wouldn't be worth the upgrade. I would probably take us, if we had to do it right this minute, I would go to Windows 8.1 Pro 64-bit with BitLocker included. So if I had to do something right this minute and a client was in front of me and they had Windows 7 Pro and they had TrueCrypt, I would say, let's upgrade to Windows 8.1 Pro and turn on BitLocker if we can't wait until the fall of 2015 until Windows 10 is a final release and out. Okay, so that's it. I have some music tonight. Haven't had some music in some of the past shows. And you know, a lot of time I like to close with music. This Saturday night, I'm going to be seeing this artist down in Atlantic City with my youngest son, Tyler. And we're fans of Aaron Lewis, who is the lead singer of Stained. And for the last few years, he's been on a solo tour. And I've actually seen him in concert. Great acoustic set. If you can see Aaron Lewis, it's well worth the ticket. I am now going to play the acoustic version of a Pearl Jam cover. One of my favorite Pearl Jam songs, Black. This is Aaron Lewis doing Black. Give a listen.
Of empty canvas, untouched sheets of clay, her legs spread out before me as her body once stood.
That is Aaron Lewis, the song Black, which was originally recorded by Pearl Jam. Love that song. Aaron Lewis, great, great voice, and does an amazing acoustic set if you get a chance to see him live. Got a lot of music coming up that I'm going to be seeing. I'm going to be seeing Bush the week after, and then a couple weeks after that, I'm looking forward to seeing Liz Longley again. So I'll look for next week. I'll find some Bush in the week after. I'll do some Liz Longley. So we'll get back to doing some music at the end of the show here. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your support and everything that you do in supporting my sponsors and affiliates. Instant House Call, tremendous remote support software service, and Auto Backup for Tech 6, version 6, the pro version, is phenomenal. You've got to check that out if you're transferring any files from any operating system to another. That is the software you want to use for backing up your files. And then also the Computer Business Kit version 3. If you have a repair business or computer services or consulting services, that is the ultimate kit. You need that. It's by TechNibble. Bryce, it's tremendous. Thank you, and I will see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.